Hello and welcome to Gank That Drink.
Ooh, mine was flat.
Oh, I think we clicked in unison though for the first time ever. Gank That Drink, a supernatural drinking game podcast. It's the podcast where we tell you an episode of Supernatural. We play along with drinking game rules, and then at the end, we tell you how the rules played out and what a good drinking game we made.
Or didn't make.
Yeah, sometimes they're not all we had hoped. But sometimes they are all that we had hoped.
Yeah. Sometimes they're more than we hoped.
Oh, sometimes they're accidentally more. So much more.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Chrissy.
Hi, I'm Chrissy Lenz, one of the directors of the Neighborhood Comedy Theater in downtown Mesa, Arizona. And with me, as always, is...
Nate McWhorter, performer and doer of other things at the Neighborhood Comedy Theater in downtown Mesa, Arizona.
And have we got an exciting episode for you tonight? This is actually, so we took a little time off in February because Chrissy and the improv community were in the middle of putting together a festival for the first time, the Savvy Festival. So we took a little break in February. We're back now with a new season. So this is technically, we're in season 5 now, and this is going to be the kickoff to season 5, and we're kicking it off with a big bang.
Oh, are we?
Heck yeah, we are.
If I not to give them a peek behind the curtain, but if I were aware that this was our kickoff of season 5 episode, I might have chosen a different episode.
Why? I think this one's perfect.
I don't love this episode. Not one bit. Oh, Sophie is joining us.
Sophie is the unofficial cat sponsor. So what episode are we doing?
Chrissy, tonight we are going all the way back to season 4, a season that we have done it must be one that really hits home with us. And this episode is called Family Remains. It is episode 11. It aired January 15th, 2009. I was in my beginning of my last semester of my senior year of high school.
Excellent.
Yes, I was preparing to be playing baseball and getting ready to go off to ASU. And I had such dreams and aspirations and never... At the time, at 18, or actually not even 18, I was 10 days from being 18 years old, would I have been tuning into this? Because I didn't watch Supernatural at the time.
No, of course not.
It was not on my radar.
That wouldn't come till later.
No. Most likely, I probably would have had baseball practice and then like come home and put on some sort of... what I have on the TV right now, which is ASU basketball not being good, probably is what would have happened on that evening in 2009. But yeah, so it is an episode that many people claim as the creepiest episode of Supernatural.
It's like the creepiest.
I 100% agree.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any doubt about that. Whatsoever. And I went to the Reddit pages to kind of like see, I was looking for an episode, and I went to the Reddit pages, and I wasn't necessarily looking for creepy. I didn't know what I was looking for, but that episode, you know, this episode just got brought up a bunch, and I was like, okay. And I was like, I think I remember it. And then I think literally the second the episode started up, I was like, oh yeah.
Oh, right.
That's right.
That's the one.
And it is the one that is basically an homage to the 1996 X-Files episode Home, which it basically just features a incestuous family out in the sticks. yeah, and it's just such an outlier of an episode. But I'm glad that we did it.
Yeah,
I'm not glad that I made myself watch it as many times as I did.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that we did it because I think it is. I think it's a good reminder, and we're like, I know we're getting like really into the episode before we even say the rules or anything, but it's a good reminder of like what makes Supernatural awesome at its heart, mm-hmm. is that it's not this.
Like this all the time.
Right. And I think that was true of X-Files as well. Was like, was what makes it great at its very core is, yes, it could be creepy. Yes, we can do creepy. We can do scary. We can do horror if we really wanted to. But that's not what this is. This is a show of brotherhood and of friendship and of family and of doing the right thing or the hard thing or not the, mm-hmm. necessarily the right thing, mm-hmm. you know, and how the world isn't black and white and there's so much gray. And that, and so, yeah, that's what this show is. That's what we love about Supernatural. But they give you, you know, season four, and the show's still day to day, basically.
Yeah.
with the network and with whether they're going to get another season. So here we are on the back half of season four where they got to, you know, they got to bring home some stuff. And they've had a good season so far. Like I said, we've done a lot of episodes. Sophie, I swear. So this is season four. And like I said, we've done lots of episodes. So they're hitting some good ones in season yep. four. So
season four is a great season.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm excited to get into this one. So Chrissy, without further ado, our rules for this evening.
All right. What are the rules?
The rules for this episode, Family Remains. We're starting off. The first rule is, taking a shot for a single man tier.
Single man tier.
Single man tier. Had to take a shot for it. We're taking a drink for some sassy teen stuff.
So much sassy teen stuff.
Yeah. We're taking a drink for any time there's something creepy or a jump scare. Either one of those things. Sometimes they both happen. Sometimes it's a creepy jump scare.
Mm-hmm.
But like some moments are creepy, some moments are jump scares. I just combined them into the same. We're drinking for the red rum rule.
Yep. Anytime there's something creepy written on the walls.
Yeah. Stay in the circle. Anytime if we stay in the circle and then drink twice,
if
or
they
twice
don't...
as much if they don't drink, if they don't stay in the circle.
Which they hate to stay in the circle.
Oh, no one likes staying in the circle. And actually, for this episode, they don't stay in the circle for good reason. circle was dumb. Someone mentions Andy.
Yep.
We're taking a drink. Anytime someone dies, we're taking a drink. And then Chrissy, I did not say this on in our season four finale. I did not say... two rules that I came up with upon a further rewatch or one is
okay.
Gank. One is gank.
Gank. I wrote it down.
A rule we always play. The other rule is another shot. If you want to add this to it, I'm just calling it the Ted is dead shot.
Oh, Ted's dead.
Ted is dead. Uncle Ted is dead. So yes, those are our rules. Those were the added rule was the Ted is dead, and then of course we're always playing gank.
Always playing gank. If someone says gank, take a drink.
Take a drink. Yeah, that was the rules. Chrissy, what are you drinking tonight?
Oh, I'm sticking with my classic. I went and bought some Topo Chico hard seltzer spiked sparkling water, and I'm having the tropical mango naturally flavored with other natural flavors, which, what does that mean? Naturally flavored with other natural flavors.
Yeah, it's just a lot of stevia or whatever. Okay. No, they use real sugar for that.
Added minerals for taste.
Yeah.
But of course, I took out the pineapple ones and left them to the side.
Nice. Nice. That can just be the always left out flavor. Dry January is over.
Thank God.
I ended it. I'm still trying to not drink as much, but I ended the dry January anyway. But tonight I am drinking a Spotted Cow from the New Glarus Brewery.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
New Glarus, Wisconsin.
Oh, it's one of your Wisconsin beers.
It is one of the Wisconsin beers. It has been in the fridge for quite some time because of the dry January. That's why I was a little flat when I cracked it, but it still tastes delicious.
It's a special night then.
It is, and there is still a 12-pack sitting out, ready to get put into the fridge. So I still got 12 of them left, and I just now realize Abby's going back at the end of the month. Yes!
So you got to drink those down.
I know. Well, she can get more, and then I can kind of hoard those till the next time we go.
Well, if they're getting flat, you got to crack-a-lack.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Yeah, we'll make sure to drink it before they go bad. All right, Chrissy, here we go. Season 4.
Episode 11.
Episode 11. Family Remains. The then is all about a Dean being in hell and him confessing to have he went through 30 years of being on the rack and all this, and Alistair would always offer him a deal that if he would just jump off the rack and do the torturing, he wouldn't get tortured anymore. And eventually Dean gave in. And the problem was he started to like it.
Oh,
Dean. I don't remember if he says that in the then or at the end of this episode, but either way, Dean's like got some bad mental juju going on up in his head from his time down in hell. And that's pretty much the most of the gist of the then.
But the then is when we get the single man tier.
It is when we get the single man tier, yes. So that's why we start the episode off with a shot. I decided to give us a shot because that's a good... You get that moment with Jensen, you got to milk it. Like, I wonder how many thens that scene is in.
Yeah.
You know, like they're probably like, oh, we got to play that. That's it. Multiple times throughout seasons, I'm sure.
Get that season single man tier.
Get that single man tier. So we cut to now, and Sam wakes up in the backseat of the Impala, and Dean is like hunting for another case. And Sam is like, dude, we just got finished with a case. And he's like, yeah, so I got the adrenaline going. I got it. Let's go do this. And Sam is like, oh, you gotta take a break. You're running yourself ragged. We're having a little bit of a, not really a BM scene, but Sam definitely trying to like, you know, definitely worried about Dean.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely worried about Dean.
Dean is almost manic with his need to stay on a case.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they find a case that seems like it's like classic ghost. We got a man. I guess this was the first. This was not the first scene. The first scene was our guy getting killed by a creepy, ghosty girl. Yeah, was a guy sitting watching the game all by himself, old man in the dark, and a girl comes out and he says, "No, it's impossible. You shouldn't exist." And then she stabs him, and so that's what then the case that Sam. Or sorry, the Dean catches, is this case. The case that we saw the death of earlier. So someone did die. We took a drink, and also that girl's creepy. That was a very creepy girl.
She's creepy.
Yeah. So the boys are then on the case, and they get to the house, and the house is empty because it was all murdered out in or whatever. And they're walking around. They notice like a painted over dumbwaiter.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like obvious, like, oh, that's coming back. We're for sure.
Of course, you don't see it. It's like Chekhov's dumbwaiter.
I just love it's so. I would love it if they. I would have loved it more if they didn't come back. If that was just like an off thing. They're like, yeah, we're gonna make people think we're coming back to this, and we never do.
And we never ever do.
That would have been really funny. They just have this moment of like noticing drywall. And that's just it.
This episode brought to you by drywall.
Yeah. Oh yeah, all these old houses used to have them. They must have painted over it. They're property brothers. Anyway, so the boys are checking this place out. They do EMF, but we're next to power lines. gotta try to.
Which, like, I didn't know that power lines would make the EMF go off.
This is,
I think, this might be the only. Is it brought up multiple times?
It's brought up, especially in early episodes. It definitely is. Where they check out, they do EMF, and then there's power lines like outside, or whatever, and they're like, "Oh, well, that's why." Because it's
power
like
lines
EMF
everywhere, though.
EMF is supposed to like is electromagnetic field, right? Isn't that what EMF stands for?
I think so.
And so, if you have an electric power line right outside, but then like they always, I mean, I guess a lot of times they're in the dark, but like, wouldn't you just like the lights send it off? I don't know.
Yeah, it's almost as like EMF is not as reliable as it seems like it should be.
Fingerprint analysis of ghost hunting.
Yeah.
they stop using EMF after a while, the boys. They also get to bigger things than just ghosts. They don't really do ghosts much in later on.
Which is a bummer because I love it when the bad guy is a ghost.
Right? It's so easy. There are some later. I can think of a couple later episodes where it's just a ghost, but... It's like a ghost plus. Like, there's something else about the ghost that they gotta do. Whatever. As the boys are investigating the house, the family that just bought, like, the quick... Who's the real estate agent in this town?
He's the best real estate agent in the business.
God, he flipped
if he can sell a murder house?
Incest house in, like, a week.
Yep.
It's insane. So the family's like comes up, the boys come out, and we get, this is where we get like our first introduction to the family. The dog Buster runs out of the car. We get the boy Danny pops out, chasing after Buster. We get the sassy teen. I honestly forget her name.
Kate?
Kate? Yeah. It's Kate. Yeah. She comes out, and then we get this moment between the parents, Susan and Brian, who are like, this is going to be better. Everything's going to be okay here. And the mom's like, maybe.
We'll see. Yeah.
I don't know. I got really interesting. Like, this was stepdad vibes, right? You get stepdad.
Oh, they're totally getting stepdad vibes from him.
But they don't ever say it outright.
When she says, like, I can't put the kids through another year like the last, it's like she's saying that as if they're her kids.
Right.
And not their kids.
Right. And the way, and then the scene where he's got to, like, have the red rum scene later on with the writing on the wall, the dad is like, it's like, she's like, go easy on him. And it's like his first chance to, like, have a meaningful talk or punish this kid in a way, you know. It's a very, but they never outright say that in the episode. It's never like out and out said like, oh, these are my kids, not, you know, right?
He says, he does say, he was our oldest about Andy.
Right.
So they are his kids. It's just a weird vibe.
It's such a weird vibe. I still think it's a stepdad situation. Maybe stepdad from like a young age. But like, man, that every time I've watched it, I've been like, what is this dad, the relationship with this dad? Because then I don't know, then you have the Ted of it all. So then we also, this is where we get our introduction as Ted the brother, because the sassy teen girl says, oh my God, there's no cell, or there's their cell service out here. And he's like, actually, I'm trying to ruin your life. And then he's like, Ted, can you weigh in? Ted's like, I'm with the girl. And Ted is like, Ted's a rabble rouser. He's a wild card. He's, you know, kind
he's
of
a
kid
sassy
himself.
Uncle.
He's a sassy uncle, right? He says sassy teen stuff, but he's just an uncle. But is he's got to be her brother.
He's her brother.
It's got to be. Again, because it feels like Brian is just out on the outs with everybody at all times. Like, no one likes Brian. I don't like Brian. We don't like Brian, I would say. He doesn't seem like a very good dude. I don't know why.
He just seems like he's out of his depth.
Yeah. And like, this is not a life he should be like that. He should be like a bachelor or like, and like driving like a sports car. It seems like this is not the life for him, but they're doing it. They're moving to the farm because they had some bad times in the burbs or whatever. And the boys come out of the house and the girl's like, who are they? And the boys come up and they're like, oh, we're from county code enforcement. They're Stanwyck and Babar, which as far as I can take is them just doing a Barbara Stanwyck like shout out. There's no rock or anything. Like when I Google this, just this episode comes up and Barbara Stanwyck. So I'm like, maybe it's just a nod to her. Anyway, they come out. There's asbestos in the wall. You got a gas leak. You guys are going to have to stay in a motel tonight. Ted is like, we drove 400 miles. And the dad is like, Brian is like, all right, we'll stay at a hotel, whatever. So the boys are like, okay, good. Now that they're out of here, we need to go do some research. So the boys go and talk to the maid of the caretaker, cleaning lady of the house, of the guy who lived in the house. And she tells the story of how his daughter or his wife dies and his daughter kills herself. Mm-hmm. And like all this stuff, and it seems pretty crazy. And the boys,
but it was like, before her time.
But it was before her time, before she was there. And then, I love the little line was, they said something about like, oh, I bet you get crazy big rats out there.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, wouldn't know, never seen them.
Yeah.
And that was like the first clue. It's like the first kind of like little drop of a clue. That's like, okay, all right. Other than when the boys are like investigating the house at first, we do get the POV of one of the people living in the walls. And that like they're doing fun little horror things,
mm-hmm.
With everything. They do a really good job of doing horror. So, the boys, they leave the house of the lady with a little bit more of a story of what went on at the house. It was the wife who died in childbirth, and then the daughter hung herself in the attic. Both women were cremated, so the boys are like, okay, it's still probably a ghost. So, we cut to, the family decides, by the way, F these guys.
Yeah.
We're moving in.
So but it's as in. Though they went to the motel and hated it and were just like, well, we'll just risk the asbestos.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And Ted was like, I don't know. I've worked on a lot of houses. These guys are crazy. So we get Danny in his room with his Major League Baseball lamp just sitting on the floor plugged in. Love the detail. Danny in his room and the door like creepily opens and like a ball rolls out. So creepy. And the dumb little kid tosses the ball back and is like, hey, come on. You like absolutely ghoulish, creepy looking thing that like is so dark we can't even see it. Oh, it's so creepy. So Danny.
Yeah, he's just like, he's too friendly of a kid.
Way
it's like
friendly.
Learn about stranger danger.
This kid actor, and I meant to click on his link before, but he goes on to actually like kind of play in some stuff, right? He looks familiar.
Yeah, he looks really familiar.
Dylan Minnette is his name. But he's way too nice of a kid, and he goes and plays. So the next scene, then we get the red rum rule. So we get a little creepiness. Then we get the red rum rule where the word go is written in crayon on the wall. Mm-hmm. The parents see it and they go, Danny, you better come down here, my guy, because you're kind of in trouble for
you're
this.
You're in trouble.
And she's like, go easy on him. The teacher said that he was going to act out and all this. They're trying to get the kid to confess, and he's like, it wasn't me, it was the girl who lives in the walls. And they're like, okay, the girl who lives
in the walls. Oh, you know where he's from? He's from 13 Reasons Why.
Oh. He's also in the Goosebumps movie. That is what I probably know him from.
He's in Don't Breathe.
Yeah, he's in a lot of stuff.
He's in Law and Order SVU.
Who isn't, though? I think I have a credit for...
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah. And it all started... He's in Fred Claus. Really... Oh. As just like an orphan... Yeah, as an orphanage kid. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's in Drake and Josh, 2 and a Half Men.
Yeah.
He's working. He's a working actor.
He is doing it. And he does a good job in this episode, I think.
I agree.
Oh, he played young Charlie Sheen in 2 and a Half Men. So, yeah, I mean, if you're playing a young Charlie Sheen, your things are looking good for you. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we then get the... scene then. Oh man, Kate is in her room.
Ooh.
And she's like, sticks her hand over the bed, and what she thinks is Buster the dog licking her hand, she realizes is not Buster the dog licking her hand, because Buster the dog comes in the room.
Ooh, it's so gross.
And she turns, and the thing that was licking her hand scurries back into the walls. And she starts screaming, and that's what catches then the attention of the boys. They barge in and they go, "We think you have a ghost." And they're like, yeah. She's like, I told you it was a ghost. And the kid's like, "It's not a ghost, it's the girl in the walls." And everyone's like, "What the heck is going on?" And then we get like this. Oh, this episode is so upsetting. We then hear Buster.
Yep. Poor Buster.
And we hear Buster struggling. And we follow the sounds of Buster. Then we see the blood of Buster. And then we get another red rum rule. And it says too late on the gas truck or whatever. I don't know. I guess it was on the side of the moving truck.
Yeah.
I don't know why it looked in my brain. I'm picturing a gas truck. Yeah.
It's like a U-Haul.
So I counted Buster dies as a drink, of course.
So did I.
Yeah. So even R.A.P. Buster is written in the notes here. So we're pouring one out for Buster.
Indeed, as we should.
It is at this point the boys are just bamboozled. They're baffled, and they're even more baffled when the girl screams because she sees the ghost out in the field. And the boys are like, "How is the ghost leaving the house? We're not used to that yet."
Yeah.
Eventually we get it, but we're not used to it. What's going on? How is this happening? And the boys are like, and the reason they're outside also, they're like, "Oh, we got to get out of here. Oh, well, oops, the ghost stabbed all our tires and took mm-hmm. all our guns and knives and weapons out of the trunk," which, like...
would take so many trips.
So much time. So much time.
Yep. It would take forever.
Is that later? That's later on, though. That's later on when that all happens, because that's after they do the salt circle. Because the boys come in, they think it's a ghost. They say, they do the salt circle. We have the whole thing where Dean's like, "I'm not letting that douchebag die. I don't care." And the boys mm-hmm. are like, "Stay in the circle." And Sam goes to try to find out more stuff about what was going on.
He's right. Like reading the mom's diary, he's reading the daughter's diary.
Yeah. Yeah. He's reading the daughter's diary, trying to figure out. But then, so, and this is when then the girl comes out of the walls. Very creepy. Very creepy girl comes out of the walls.
Mm-hmm.
they do the salt circle, and then she walks through the salt circle because she's not a ghost. And Dean, who earlier threatened the guy saying he had a gun, that doesn't have a gun. And the guy's like, shoot her. He's like, yeah, about that. And it's just kind of a funny moment in this.
Yeah.
It's like the only funny moment in this episode. Mm-hmm. So now he's fighting the girl, and then he shines light in her eyes, and that's what causes her to like scurry back into the walls.
Yeah.
And so now the boys are like, okay, this is just straight up human.
It's just a murderous human.
We just got a person. Just a crazy hillbilly inbred person, which is like the Ted is like, told you that's what this was. It was just this crazy hillbilly
Psycho Nell.
Psycho Nell, yeah. So now the boys kind of know what they're dealing with, that they're dealing with at least. So, but they also know, like, Dean follows the girl into what I would describe as the worst version of Narnia.
Ah.
Through the back of the wardrobe. We could never do this for mashup.
No.
It's so... But I feel like it would be kind of an interesting challenge. Because it is so creepy, the challenge could be to like make the creepy funny.
I don't know. I don't think I would pick it.
You totally have to do a different storyline. You could not do the incest storyline. You'd have to do something else. But
yep, you'd anyway. Have to nix the incest.
That's what I always say. So yeah, the Dean's like, all right, now that we know that we're dealing with humans and this is like their turf, the safest place for you to go is going to be the shed. So he gets the girls into the shed because there's one door, and then like Sam hangs out with them for a little bit.
Danny is missing.
Danny, oh yeah, that's why they go in the shed, because Danny is missing, because they're all gonna leave, and that's why they can't leave then after the whole salt circle thing, is because the tires are slashed, then Danny is missing. There's like, they go in and out of the house so many times, it's hard to keep track of. So Danny's missing, we can't leave without him, go barricade yourself in the shed because there's one door and no windows, even though there's totally windows, and we'll go hunt this thing down and kill her. So Dean and Ted go into the walls and
through like the floor
through the floor and then into the wall, like, and then the great moment of Dean like looking over that hole and going, please nobody grab my legs. Please nobody grab my legs. Please nobody grab my legs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're, as audience, we're sitting there feeling that with him. Like, oh, please don't grab his legs.
Please don't grab his legs.
Please nobody grab his legs. So nobody grabs his legs, but he's like stumbled upon her kitchen. There's just like gross dead rats everywhere. Mm-hmm. There's, we have Buster. He says, dog, it's what's for dinner. Ted is like, what's the other? He's like, I found your kitchen. Meanwhile, Ted is being watched by the girl, and of course, while Dean is down there, Ted gets ganked hard. Ted is dead. Ted gets ganked hard by the girl, or what we think is a girl. Maybe it was the boy. We don't know. We don't know yet if there's a boy, but there's also a boy. And so Dean like goes back out into the shed. Once again, we're going into the house, out of the house, into the house. Dean goes back out to the shed and is like, bad news. I had to carry Ted out. It's not because he's asleep.
Yeah, not because he was taking a nap.
Uncle Ted is dead. So now things are getting serious. So,
yep, we've had a legit murder, a second legit murder.
Danny's things are still serious. Missing. Like, it's crazy. So now they go back down. They go back and they like realize like, oh wait, this guy, that dumb waiter from earlier, remember? So they bust down the boarded up dumb waiter, and Dean goes down. And because that's where he thinks he's gonna find Danny. We then get like Danny in his view of being kidnapped or whatever, and mm-hmm. he's like tied up, and the girl comes in and she's got a rat and she starts eating the rat in front of him. She like kills
the rat. That's the most disturbing part of the whole thing.
So creepy and unnecessary. I feel like we get it. Yeah, we don't need that.
She lives in the walls. She lives on rats. We get it.
Yeah. So, Dean makes his way down there, finding all his guns along the way. And he's like,
it's like just a breadcrumb trail.
Yeah. And he's just muttering to himself. And he goes and he ends up finding Danny, and he gets mm-hmm. to Danny, and Danny's like, hurry, he'll be back. And he's like, he? And he's like, her brother. And then the brother of course turns and attacks Dean. So
yep, because she's out attacking the shed.
Yeah, she's out. Meanwhile, yeah, out in the shed, she is like breaking down the windows that apparently didn't exist in the shed. And she's like slicing a knife through wood slats in the shed. And she's just creating all this havoc. And Sam and Brian have created some sort of like curtain rope for Dean to climb back up in the house. So we got three things going on. We got shed attack. We got Sam and Brian, and then Dean fighting the guy, and then Dean shoots the guy, and
shoots the wall boy.
Yeah. And then, which we like never see the footage they had of that guy, must have been so bad that you do not get a clean shot of him at any point in time.
No, not at all.
So the footage they had of that actor or whatever must have been so terrible, they just literally cut him out.
I think it's creepier to not see him.
I think so too, but like I just find it interesting. You don't actually get the second villain and you don't get an actual payoff on it. Anyway. And then Brian goes and like kills the girl outside because she's like attacking his wife and daughter. Stepdaughter, I swear.
I think it's so disturbing that they just kill these two young people. Like a different show would have had them like try to rescue them,
right?
You know, and I get that they're murderers, but it's really not their fault. But
they're
murderers
of necessity, a monster anyway, like of their captor, the captive. Because the one thing we learned is that yes, this is the both the child and grandchild of the man we saw killed at the beginning of the episode, because he was having sex with his daughter, who,
that's why she killed herself.
That's why she killed herself. That's what Sam learned from a journal. So, both of them dead now. The family can finally be at ease. Danny's okay.
But, like, are they going to stay in this house?
No, you can't, right? Like, you can't. Things were going to be different, Chrissy. Oh, yeah. And then there's Andy.
Andy, the brother who died in a car crash.
Yeah. All the BM scenes are between random characters we don't really know or care about. Andy died in a car crash. And so that's why it was a bad year. But things are going to be different.
Things are going to be different on a farm.
Yeah, and even at the end of the episode, the mom is like, we'll see.
Yeah.
Still don't think they're going to be that different.
Now they got to deal with Uncle Ted's death.
Uncle Ted is dead. You got these two dead people on your property. They give the boys time to drive away before calling the cops.
But like, what are you going to tell the cops? There were these two feral kids living on our walls and we killed them?
I mean, you have to just like burn them. I'm surprised the boys didn't.
Because they're human.
No one knew they were alive. Yeah, but you don't think they could become ghosts? All of their stuff still left up in that house or whatever.
That's true. They should have made sure they couldn't become ghosts. The bones. Yeah.
Make sure they didn't become ghosts and haunt that house.
Hopefully the family didn't stay at the house.
I hope not.
But we do get a BM scene between Sam and Dean at the end.
Yes. And it's all about hell. And time spent in hell. And Sam being like, but it's not your fault. He's like Goodwill Hunting him. And he's like, it's okay. That's not the you that's up here. That was just the you that's down there. And you can't hold yourself accountable for those things because it's a different world. Yeah. And
that's when he's like, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's
when I like torturing the souls.
I liked it. Just like I like killing things up here, regardless of whatever.
Yeah. Whether or not they're ghosts.
Ghosts or humans or werewolves that are trying to be good people or vampires that are trying to be good, you know, whatever. But then he eventually does because we meet lovable monsters.
Yeah.
These monsters, not lovable, Chrissy.
Not lovable whatsoever.
They will not be recurring characters.
No, they will be forgotten in the lore. So how did our rules play out?
All right. Obviously, we had our single man tier at the very beginning. We took our shot for that.
Yes, we did.
Sassy teen stuff. How much sassy teen stuff did you get?
I got 4.
I got 3. So
okay.
Yeah. All right. How many of those creepy moments or jump scares?
I got 5 creepy moments and 7 jump scares.
We did not separate them out. So I got 15 total. So you had 12.
I had 12 total.
15. But I think that's a pretty subjective rule on the creepiness.
I agree. There was probably I was probably being so creeped out I didn't count it.
Yeah.
For a few times.
Oh, the doll head.
Oh, the doll head. Yeah, for sure.
Oh. Red rum rule.
2.
2 times. Stay in the circle.
2.
1, which 2 drinks because they didn't.
Right.
Someone mentions Andy.
3 times.
3 times. And then someone dies.
I got 5.
5 as well. And then we got a gank and Ted is dead.
We got a gank. We got a Ted is dead.
It's a decent-ish game. The creepy rule, it was really, it's an episode that yeah, that's just kind of the rule you gotta play.
Yeah.
Because that's all it pretty much is. Just creepy moment after creepy moment after creepy moment. You know what, Notebook? I didn't
want it's to. It's a creepy episode.
It is. It is. And it is the creepiest episode. It is bar none. Just like Home, the X-Files episode is so entirely out of the realm of any other episode that it stands out so much. And much like Home, the bad guy is just people.
It's just people.
Incestuous people.
Yep. It reminds me of the Bloody Benders episode.
Mm-hmm. Which is, yeah, the other is another episode where there's no, where it's, yeah, just humans.
Just humans. Creepy.
The creepiest thing of all.
All right. So you want to know what's coming next? What our next episode is going to be?
Yes, which means I have to pick up that darn notebook that keeps falling.
Oh, sorry.
Alrighty. What is the next episode, Chrissy?
Well, interestingly, it's also episode 11.
Nice.
This is the next season, episode 5, season 5, episode 11, Sam Interrupted. It's the mental hospital one.
Oh, yeah.
Pudding! Okay, take a drink anytime someone says apocalypse. Take a drink when someone dies. Take a drink when someone says monster, which has become a favorite rule of mine recently. Take a drink for smooching.
Yeah.
Take a drink if Sam does an autopsy. take a shot or a double drink for pudding. Take a drink if Sam is awesome. Take a drink if someone says crazy. And then we're playing the gank rule. Take a drink if someone says gank. Awesome. And that's what's on deck for next time. Where can people find us in the real world, Nate, if they want to come and watch us entertain them?
Oh, if you would like to be entertained by the likes of us, you can find us at the Neighborhood Comedy Theater in downtown Mesa, Arizona. It's 214 West Main Street in Mesa, Arizona. Go to nctphoenix.com in the not real world to figure out all the details of how to see us in the real world. Mm-hmm. That's tickets, that's show times, that's special shows, that's all sorts of things. Come check it out. It's a great time. It's super fun. I'm going to go ahead and tease April Fool's weekend.
Oh, yes. In reverse.
Show in reverse. Although I think there was another bit show that we had thought about recently, and I am trying to remember what it was. And hopefully by then I do remember what it was, because I think a really good idea.
The middle out.
I have always wanted, I still want to do a sit where you want show. I just want, when people walk in, we give them a chair and we can tell them they can sit anywhere in the theater except behind the bar. And then we just have to, if they sit on the stage, we just have to like make them part of the show.
I myself do not find that to be a good idea. I would not be excited to have people sitting on the stage.
I think it would be funny. I think it would be a great idea.
Okay.
But no, and I'm going to tease it. April Fool's weekend. Come on out to the Neighborhood Comedy Theater. It should be a fun time no matter what we do.
Yes. Thank you so much. And if you're having a good time, if you're here at the end with us, become a member. We need you to become a member to help support our podcast. You get episodes a week early. You get access to the Discord. You get special bonus content for every episode. It's only $5 a month and it's really, really cool. So you can get a membership, you can gift a membership. We love you. We want you to support us. We appreciate you. And you can do that at truestory.fm. Just go to our show page and you can click the little button that says become a member. And when you're out there in the world saving people and hunting things, you know, the family business, please keep the Gank That Drank motto in mind. Be excellent to each other and party on, dudes.